Welcome to our Kingdom Culture podcast. For today's message, we are thankful for what God is doing through this podcast to encourage and transform lives around the world. If you have a story to share about how God has encouraged or transformed your life through this podcast, we would love to hear about it by emailing us at mystory@kingdomculture.ca. If you would like to support this ministry financially to help us bring messages like this to you every week, you can do so online at kingdomculture.ca at the Give option. We also would love to connect with you on our social media, on Instagram and Twitter at KC Ottawa, and Facebook at Facebook/Kingdom Culture Ottawa. We pray that you would experience God today and be encouraged through today's message. Enjoy.
How y'all doing? Here's what I keep seeing. While we're praying, and even as my friends were sharing, I keep seeing this cake. I've seen this a few times, but I see this cake. Kingdom cake. Say kingdom cake. How many like cake? Huh? It's like eight layers. It's like seven, eight layers. Have you ever seen one of those cakes where it's just layer, 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 layer? And, you know, one layer is like chocolate, and then another layer is like, you know, vanilla, and then there's another nail of like you know, coconut, and then there's, come on, like hazelnut. Come on, help me else. What else is in that cake? Coconut. Oh, yeah, there's a layer of coconut. Pistachio. Steak. Yes, there's a layer of steak. Yeah. Come on, strawberry jam, you know. I just see this cake. And the thing about the kingdom of God is there's so much available. And kingdom culture is, it's heaven's culture. Even as we were singing, let heaven come, you know. The thing about the kingdom of God is the kingdom of God, there's so much more than you and I will ever enter into in this life. But you get to decide how far do you want to go and how much of this cake do you want to taste. But every layer is going to cost you more than you appreciate. And you get to decide if you're going to have a seven-layer cake or a five-layer cake or a three-layer cake or a two-layer cake. Because a lot of people, they come to God and, you know, all they want is a ticket to heaven. Well, just salvation. Just get me into heaven. I just don't want to go to hell. Okay, well, that's easy. How many receive Jesus as your Savior? How many have received the free gift of eternal life? You know, that's just like Christianity 101. That's like the one-layer cake. But, you know, there's more. There's so much more. And one day we're going to stand before God and we're going to discover that the kingdom of God, you know, we're going to walk into the kingdom. I think there's going to be many who enter heaven and they look around and they say, wow, look at this. This is so beautiful. And they'll say, Jesus, the kingdom of God is beautiful. And he'll say, I'm glad you like the place, but this isn't the kingdom of God. This is heaven. I prepared this place for you. Welcome home. I told you when I was there, the kingdom of God was on earth. It was here. It was near. It was in your midst. It was all around you. Remember I told you that if you didn't have a childlike heart, you'd never enter the kingdom. He might say, you never bought into that childlike thing. I'm sorry, you missed it. Or he might say, remember how I told you? Do not be deceived. No, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers. Remember I said they would never enter, never, say never, never enter the kingdom of God. Well, you were greedy. You never entered. And there was things on earth that you could have really enjoyed. Remember all I talked about, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, drive out demons? Remember I said you could do that stuff? Remember when I said, ask me for anything in my name and I'll do it? Remember when I made all those wild promises that you just thought were too good to be true? Every promise was true. Everything I promised you, you could have walked in. I give you the keys of the kingdom. Isn't that what Jesus said? Yeah. What do keys do? They unlock things. See, a lot of people are walking around going, yeah, I got the kingdom. It's going to. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom. And he said, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom and righteousness. Most people say, or. I'll take the kingdom, but not righteousness. What do you choose, kingdom or righteousness?
He says, no, you got to have both.
Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Because if you don't like the righteousness thing, you can't have the kingdom. And so I'll kick over a big calf here. But there's one scripture that we've often quoted where we say it's Luke 17, says the kingdom of God is within you, which is not actually the best translation. It's only the King James Version that says it that way. Every other version says the kingdom of God is in your midst. It's all around you. But King James, it does sound nice. Actually, I kind of like the way that sounds. The kingdom of God is within you, because then it makes you feel, I have got it. But that's actually, there's no other verses in the Bible that say you've got it. Every other verse that talks about the kingdom says, go get it. Seek it, pursue it, find the key and unlock it, because the kingdom of God is in your midst, it's all around you, it's at hand, it's close enough to grab. But if you walk around thinking you got it, you're probably not going to unlock it. You're probably not going to seek it. Even that one verse where he says that, it was interesting. Who he's talking to was Pharisees. John 17, that one verse where King James says, in you, it says, once when being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will you say, here it is or there it is, for the kingdom of God is, King James says, within you. But most versions say, and the Greek says, in your midst. Do you think Jesus would tell a Pharisee, the kingdom of God is within you? Would he say that to a Pharisee? What did he say to Pharisees? What were they full of? Dead men's bones. Jesus wasn't telling Pharisees that the kingdom of God was within them. He was saying, it's all around you. It's at hand. And if you don't find a key, you'll never enter in. You are locked out. In fact, most of you Pharisees, that's all you do. You slam the door of the kingdom in people's faces who are trying to enter in. Hallelujah. Say amen or say oh my. You know, salvation is so easy. You're just like, what must I do to be saved? Believe. One thing, okay? What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Put your faith in Christ. Receive the free gift of salvation and you're in. Kingdom of God. Every scripture that talks about the kingdom is like so hard. Have you ever noticed that? The kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man finds it, he takes it and runs? Is that what it says? No, when he finds the treasure, when you discover kingdom culture, when you discover the kingdom life, you can't just grab it and run. It says when he finds it, he hides it again. And then he goes and sells everything he has to buy the field to get the treasure. Say expensive. Say all. The kingdom of God is like a pearl of great price. When a man finds it, you can't just take it. You can't just have it. You can't just say, I claim that. He goes away. He sells everything he has to buy that pearl. I found one verse that made the kingdom easy. There's one verse. It says this. It says, do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I thought, give, that sounds free. And the next verse says, So sell your possessions and give to the poor. I'm like, oh, nuts. Provide purses for yourselves who will not. It's all. It's always all. It's always all. And usually when you find a scripture that's asking for a lot, you know, a lot of times as Christians, we see these scriptures that, you know, like I quoted, you know, do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, idolaters, the men who have sex with men, thieves, greedy, drunkards, slanderers, will never enter the kingdom of God. And we usually assume that those all those people are going to hell, right? And we preach it. There's the proof. Yep. See, homosexuals, they all go to hell. Is that what that verse said? It said they'll never enter the kingdom of God. It included the greedy, the slanderers. Any slanderers in church? Not in this church, but certainly. If you like to gossip, you'll never enter the kingdom. You can't live a kingdom life. You got a Bible? Turn to Mark chapter 10 today. There was a rich young ruler. Remember one time I had a rich guy, really rich, like he's worth hundreds of millions of dollars in net worth, and he went for lunch together. And he said to me, Steve, you know, the thing about, he's not a Christian, he said, the thing about Christianity that I just can't accept is you guys can't agree on anything. You guys, one guy says this verse means one thing, another guy says it means something else, and he says, I don't have time to learn Greek and Hebrew. Like, if you guys can't even make up your mind what things mean, how can I ever even, I can't even imagine getting into the Bible. He said, there's some weird verses in there. In fact, he said, I even heard there's one verse. Interesting. This is the only verse he could quote, this rich guy. He said, I even heard there's one verse that says that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. What the heck is that supposed to mean? That's what he says. And, you know, at that time when he said that, you know, this is back in like 2016, I actually didn't really understand what the kingdom of God was. I had an old mentality of the kingdom of God. And so when he said it's easier for a camel to go through, he said, what is that supposed to mean? And I said, well, what that means is it's not going to be, on judgment day, it's not going to be easy for guys like you and me to get into heaven. You better not be hoping your good deeds outweigh your bad. It's not going to be easy for you to go to heaven. And even as I was saying those words, I could feel the Holy Spirit saying, bad, 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 bad interpretation. And I remember going home that night. And I was like, I knew that was the Lord. And I went home and I'm like, Lord, what do you mean? What was that about? You know, you said it. You said it's easier for a camel to go than for a rich man to go enter the kingdom. And the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, Steve, you know the kingdom of God is on earth. Why do you always make it about heaven and hell? Why? You do that all the time. Any scripture that disqualifies someone from entering the kingdom, I would always just disqualify them from eternity. And when you do that, pretty soon, by the way, everybody's going to hell. In fact, most of you, just so you know. The greedy will never enter the kingdom. Slanderers never enter the kingdom. If you don't have a childlike heart, that's most of us, friends. They'll never enter the kingdom. Are we all going to hell? And I felt the Lord pressing me on this. Stop sending everybody to hell. I didn't say it was hard for the rich to go to heaven. I said it's hard for them to enter the kingdom. And the kingdom of God is a realm of God's presence and glory and power on the earth. It's about living a miraculous life. It's about praying for the sick and something actually happening. It's about being empowered to live a holy life. It's about walking on water, okay? He said that's hard for the rich because to live a kingdom life, it absolutely costs you everything. It's a surrendered life. It's I surrender all.
And most wealthy people will not do it. Because the more you have, the more it costs you. It's easier when you have nothing to give everything. So here we have this rich young ruler who comes to Jesus in Mark chapter 10. I'll read it to you. It says, as Jesus started on his way, verse 17, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Do you think this man loved Jesus? He did. He loved the Lord, okay? He fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. But you know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother, period. Now, remember, Jesus is preaching the gospel before the cross. So he's telling someone pre-cross what you got to do to make sure that you enter into eternal life. And that's what he asked him about was eternal life. How do I receive eternal life? And Jesus said, follow the rules. Okay? Which was the deal back then. And he said, teacher, all these I have done since I was a boy. So basically, I've done all this. And, you know, Jesus could have probably at that point patted him on the back and said, don't worry, I'll see you on the other side. But he looks at this guy and he can see he's hungry for more. Truth is, he didn't just want a ticket to heaven. He wanted the kingdom of heaven. And it's interesting because at this moment, I love this. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Verse 21 says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. You know, Jesus loves rich people. He looked at him and loved him. What did he love about him? He could see a hunger in this guy. He could see that he wanted more. And he said, oh yeah, one more thing. One thing you lack. Go and sell everything you have. Now, are we still talking about how to get to heaven? Have any of you ever sold everything you had? Do you have to sell everything to get to heaven? How do you get to heaven? Believe. Jesus has changed the subject, just so you know. We are no longer talking about how to get to heaven. He is now talking about how to enter the kingdom of heaven. Because he sees he's hungry for more. He says, go sell everything you have and give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. He didn't say if you sell everything, you get to go to heaven. He said, selling everything will get you treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell and he went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words and said, Jesus said, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. This guy wasn't being offered a ticket to heaven. If he was, we're all in trouble because we got to go sell everything because that's the price of heaven. He was being offered the opportunity to be discipled by Jesus, likely to be one of the apostles, to walk in miracles, signs, and wonders, to live a kingdom life. But he went away sad. Three things I want you to notice in this passage are, one, this guy loved Jesus. Okay? He loved Jesus. He fell on his knees. Good teacher. Loving Jesus is not enough to live a kingdom life. The second thing I want you to notice, that Jesus loved him. Jesus looked at him and loved him. I want to tell you something. God's love for you is not enough when it comes to living a kingdom life. It will not. His love for you will not get you into a miraculous, supernatural life. And third, I want you to notice, he missed out on the kingdom not because of his unwillingness to bow, not because of an unwillingness to worship or obey commands. He was all into obedience. I'll honor my father, all the mother. I'm going to be faithful to my wife. I'll follow all the rules. He didn't miss the kingdom because he wasn't obedient or because he didn't love God. He didn't miss the kingdom because he was unwilling to tithe. If Jesus had asked for 10%, he would have been all in. Hello? He missed the kingdom because he wasn't willing to give 100%. You know, I think of this cake here. Imagine this 7-layer cake. And God says, do you want to eat it? Who wants to eat some cake? And this is all available to all of us, each one of us. But some of us, when you discover the key to the kingdom, when you discover what it costs to live a kingdom life, some of us will say, Lord, I love you. I really do. I love you. And I like worship. And I really love Sean Gaby's preaching. So I will go to church. By the way, Alberta loves your pastor. Do you know you got an amazing pastor? Like he's a superhero. Like I'm on Facebook telling people, hey, I'm preaching in Sean Gaby's church. Like that's a big deal, just so you know, for a little redneck evangelist from Alberta. And so it is, if I didn't mention it earlier, it's a big honor to preach in this pulpit. We love your pastor. And so, but you might say, man, I love worship. We have this amazing worship, and I like good preaching, and I will definitely go to church. But I'm just not into, you know, saying yes to God. And so if it's all right, I'll just keep this one addiction in my life, okay? Even though I know God's been speaking to me about giving it up, I'm just going to hold on to this because it actually doesn't stop me from loving God. And quite frankly, I can't even find any Bible verses against this one. And so I'm just going to keep this one. Even though the Lord's been speaking to you and saying, you got to stop that. And you say, Lord, I love you. I'm just not going to be obedient. And God says, okay, I love you too. I'm not going to reject you for this, okay? You're not missing heaven over this. I just got to take one layer off this cake. All of the promises and the blessings that come to those who are obedient. You just have to skip that stuff. You can't have those blessings. The obedience, and there's a lot, by the way. There's just so much good stuff for those who obey. But you can't have that stuff. But there's still 6 more layers, so you're good. This is still a good cake. You know, and you say, Lord, perfect, 6 layers. I love it. Except one other thing. I also, like, I love worship and I love preaching, but I really don't want to give you my thought life. I just want to keep control over, you know, what happens in my head. And God says, okay, no problem. I love you. You're still going to heaven. It's just that there's a whole bunch of promises and blessing and favor and kingdom swirl that's available to those who give me their mind. So we'll just take that layer off too. And you say, and just one other thing, Lord. I'm also not giving you my mouth. Because, you know, I love you, but this is the way I am. I just say it how it is. Okay? That's just who I am. I just say things how they are, and I'm always going to be that way. And sometimes people don't like it. But, you know, I'm just going to say things how they are. And you know, I hear about all these people who are like, oh, you got to watch your words. And, you know, you can't declare this. And you got to watch your declaration. That's just not my jam. So I'll give you everything, but not my mouth. God says, okay, no problem. You're still going to heaven. But there's just a lot of promises for those who learn how to declare the word of the Lord over themselves, for those who guard their mouths, who speak life and not death, who speak blessings and not curses. This is a lot of blessing. Like the tongue happens to be the rudder of your stinking life. And you're saying you're not giving me the rudder. So now I can't steer anything. So you are just going to be lost at sea. All right. Keep your words, too. Let's just take another layer off the cake. Oh, and Lord, one other thing. I'm not really into reading the Bible. Like, I love good preaching. Did I mention I love good preaching? But I'm not going to, like, read my Bible every day. I'm not into all that meditation. And I definitely don't memorize. Because I'm not good at memorizing Bible verses. But everything else, Lord, all the other pieces of the I want everything else on the cake. But I'm not going to meditate. Because it's okay. But I wish you knew the promises that I've made to those who meditate day and night. Those who memorize the word of God, who get my word. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask me for anything. The Bible says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate day and night. You'll be prosperous and successful. It says that those who meditate day and night, they're like a tree planted by a stream of water. It doesn't even need to rain, and the tree is green and fruitful. But, okay, you don't have to read your Bible. But that was a really big, thick slice. Toss it. Toss all that kingdom blessing. Toss prosperity away. Toss it all. Oh, one other thing, Lord, and this is it. I'm really not into prayer either. Praying, oh, I just find that so boring. I'm just gonna leave that to the intercessors, okay? I can't pray. I just can't. I've tried it. I just fall asleep, you know? And so prayer, this is not gonna be a part of my equation, okay? But everything that else, I'm into. It's not prayer. God's like, oh, gosh, you wouldn't believe what you can access through prayer. But no, you don't have to. Let's just take that piece. But God, I give you everything else. Everything else except money. Yeah, definitely. Except money. That is the only other thing I'm not going to give you is money. Because I just don't trust you with money. And God said, if you had any idea how rich I was, you would realize this is a very bad choice. But sure. Keep your money. Rot with it. All of these blessings connected to sowing and reaping. All of the harvest that could have been yours, we'll just toss that away. Is there anything left? Oh, yeah, one other thing. I'll give you everything else except food. By the way, food is the final frontier. If you can say yes to God in the area of food, you're practically perfect. Is that right, Ben? Lord, I love you, and I will honestly, I'll give you the money. I'll even pray. Just don't ask, don't touch food. I am not a faster. And I definitely don't like to eat clean. So God, any of the blessings that come from a fasted life,
from a hungry life. I'll just pass on those two. And you know, many Christians, this is the truth, many Christians, when they're done saying no to God, they find out all they got is one layer. Salvation. And some people won't even give them that. So, you know, there may even be people in this church right now. You're here today, and you're not even willing to ask him to be your Savior. Hello? That's like the first layer. And every single person in hell wishes they had 10 more seconds on earth to get a redo on that decision. Because you need to know, it's not your sins that'll take you to hell. As you can see, we're all sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Anyone not fit into that category? We've all sinned. Everyone sins. Even Christians sin. It's not your sins that will take you to hell. It's a lack of humility. It's just something inside of a person that says, you know what, I don't think I really need a Savior. I think I'm probably good enough. In fact, I'm sure that when I stand before God, he's going to look at me and he's going to say, man, your good deeds definitely outweighed your bad. I think I'll face God on my own terms. I don't need a Savior, and I don't bow to anybody. You know, we all have to decide how far we want to go with Jesus. And I remember, I remember 38 years old. This is 12 years ago. I came to a point in my life where I just lived in a lot of compromise for a lot of years. And I was 38 years old when Holy Spirit spoke to me one day on a run. And he said, Steve, I want you to quit smoking today. And I love smoking. If God and my wife would let me, I'd smoke every day of my life. But I had a lot of other issues, too. I drank like a fish. I had a heart full of sin and lust and all sorts of other stuff. But I remember this day God spoke to me and he said, you're going to quit smoking today. And I said, Lord, I love you. And you know I gave you the porn. Do you ever negotiate with God? I said, you know I gave you the porn. But I said, Lord, nah, I'm not giving you this. Not the smoke. I just really like cigars and find that when I smoke them, peace like a river flows through my soul. And it just seems pretty heavenly to me. So, Lord, I love you, but no. That's what I said. I love you, but no. And when I said no to the Lord, I had a vision. And I'm not one to have a lot of visions, but I had this vision. And the Lord showed me this path in front of me. I saw a road, and I saw it come to a Y. And one side went up this massive mountain, and it was huge. It was blessing. It was favor. It was prosperity, like millions of dollars. It was millions of souls. It was a ministry that normal people like me never get to enter into. It was just this crazy, wild, massive life. But the other road went to Saskatchewan. It was this flat... Anyone here from Saskatchewan? It was just flat. And I knew I still went to heaven when I died. But it was just a small life. I love Saskatchewan, by the way. But I saw this, and when I saw this fork in the road, I heard the Lord say to me, Steve, I had big things for you. H-A-D, past tense. I had big things for you, but I've changed my mind. And it was like a train track switch went switch. And instead of going up the mountain, I was heading to the flatlands. And I could take you to the place where Steve Holmstrom died. And I fell on my knees in the middle of a run. I saw this and terror hit me. And I fell on my knees and I started weeping. And I screamed loud enough to scare a cat up a tree. I said, wait! I changed my mind! That's what he said. I said, I changed my mind. I said, now I am tears. I mean, it wasn't funny then. I was crying. And I said, I promise Jesus, I said, I'll swear I'll never smoke another day in my life. And you can ask me for anything and I'll do it. But can we stick with plan A? Please. Just back up. Hold on. Don't do anything rash.
And for 12 years, I want to tell you, for 12 years, I mean, I was a glorious compromiser for 38 years of my life. You can ask my wife. She will attest. For 12 years, I have been on a choke collar. I wake up every day. I say, ask me for anything, and I'll do it. And he asked for my money. He asked for my thoughts. He asked for my time. He asked me for stuff that seems to me he has no business asking for. And I just keep saying, yes, 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 yes. And the blessing, I'm out of time here, but I'll tell you this, the blessing of the Lord that has fallen on my life in the last 12 years is nothing short of staggering. He gives me pretty much anything I ask for. I mean, the craziest stuff I ask for. Lord, I want to do this. And he's like, sure. I want to do this. He says, okay. What about this? He says, anything you want. But then he says, and I want this. And I go, oh. And I want this. Oh. And I want this. And that's the kingdom life, friend. That's kingdom culture. Is everything I have is yours, and all that you have is mine. Would you bow your heads? If you're here today and you know that you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, layer one of the cake. And you say, or maybe you did a long time ago, but you know you've walked away. And you say, I need to surrender to Christ. I need to receive the free gift of eternal life. I'm not certain that I'm even saved. Would you pray with me? If that's you, would you raise your hand so I can see you? Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise you, Jesus, for 8 people who want to give their lives to you. Would you pray with me? Everyone, we can pray this out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, I confess I am a sinner and I need a Savior. I don't measure up. Jesus Christ, please wash my sins away. I receive, nice and loud, I receive the free gift of eternal life. My sins are forgiven. I'm a child of God. And I ask you, Father, to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Speak to me. Tell me what to do. Tell me where to go. I don't own myself anymore. I'm yours, in Jesus' name, amen. Can you give him a big hand? And beloved, don't look at this cake and go, I'll never get there. Take it one piece at a time. Are you thankful that God doesn't ask for everything on one day? But I promise you, he's asking for something today. And if you want to live a kingdom life, I don't need you to come to a front. You can. You're free. We'll pray. We can meet in the lobby. But at the end of the day, you say yes to him. And now you're walking. And then he'll keep asking for more. And you keep saying yes. And this is the kingdom of God. Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Some verses actually leave that last word out, you. But it's supposed to be there. It's in the Greek. You are my friends if you do what I command you. That means I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to ask for something. And if you say yes to me, we begin to walk in friendship, in intimacy. And I'm going to lead you to a life that you could have never found on your own. Hallelujah. Bless you, Kingdom Culture. Thank you so much.